We're going to go ahead and begin with our soybean panel. And on the panel today is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Bloomington, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Brian Maple of FC Stone and Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it is my pleasure to turn this meeting over to Todd Gleason, who is the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. And Todd, if we could go to about quarter till, that would be grand.
Okay. Quarter of, we'll make it. So we started 15 minutes late, which is unusual for a radio crew because we like to be on time. But you know that there were an awful lot of folks out there. I just got word here that we filled her to capacity at the moment. Capacity was 340. And we'll keep selling tickets for a while yet, but just in case you wanted to know how many or roughly how many were out there, that's what we've got going at the moment. So let's talk about the marketplace. We divided up today, soybean panels, corn panels, a few special panels throughout the day. Ed Kieser will be in a little bit later to talk about weather, and Gary Schnitke from University of Illinois Extension will be here as well to take up your crop insurance decisions. This is a process where we really want you to ask questions. And so I don't want to have to carry the whole thing throughout this process. I want to have a conversation with you to some extent. So if you've got questions, make sure that you ask them. Those that do ask questions will get an AgriGold hat, courtesy of Scott over here at AgriGold. Where did Scott go? Oh, he's gone. That's all right. But we've got hats, courtesy of AgriGold today, for those who ask questions. So make sure you get those in the back of your mind. So let's get started. Brian Maple is with FC Stone. He's on at 8:50 a.m. on Monday mornings, is with us. Good morning to you, Brian. Thanks for making the trip to Covington today from Indianapolis. Give me a quick rundown of how you see the marketplace at this point.
I've been a pretty big bear in the marketplace, and I'm starting to wane just a little in my bearish thought process. There's a few things that have happened over the last couple of weeks that I think bear notice that we have to take note and say that possibly we're starting to run out of the selling. We're still in a solid downtrend, and I think that until we break that, we have to be noticeable of what the market gives us as opportunities out here. Of most importance, I think you need to be looking at basis and spreads today, which are extremely narrow and have some tremendous opportunities for you to try and market some grain at some very good levels. I tend to think that if you carry soybeans into late July, August this year, you're risking probably 40 cents a bushel in just basis and spread activity that could move against you very quickly, because we've seen some very tight levels this year that provide some tremendous opportunities. I also want to take time to thank Dave and Todd for having this program in WILL. I'm not sure where you're going to go anywhere to have a program with this many analysts on board to give you some information, and you can take a little bit about what we all say and make your own decisions from there.
Thank you very much. That's Brian Maple. Next to him is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. You hear him each and every Tuesday in the morning and in the afternoon on our opening market report and our closing market report. He won't be there this afternoon for the show, but I'm going back to the radio station by then to be on the air, and his compadre, John Hester, will be with me today. Wayne, your view of this marketplace.
Well, it's great to be here, and it's tremendous to look at this crowd out here. And I'll have to apologize. I think that a lot of us over the last 6 months probably haven't given you what you really want in a definitive answer, because we've all been so screwed up by the economy, by the funds, by what has happened overseas and announcements overnight and how Wall Street reacts to everything. Today, I think I'm going to try to give some straightforward answers. We're looking at basically two seasons in the way that we look at the bean crop right now. We've got the old crop with tight supplies. We've got Argentina bottlenecked because of the government and their farmers and holding things off. We've got farmers selling is very, very tight. We've got the basis tight here now. And it looks like everything along the way, if we'd have a weather problem, could cause a nice little rally. And then we look at the stock market, then we look at the dollar, and we look at crude oil, and we see things highly kept under check. And just as Brian said, you could either be hitting a home run or taking that third strike and looking like a fool come July or August because of what can happen as to what's going on. So we want to be a little bit defensive, put a bottom under this market here with probably some puts and selling some out-of-the-money calls. I think that Informa has told us that we are going to really jump up the bean acres because of cutting cotton acres, cutting wheat acres. And we, as we looked at the government's last numbers, there's 4.5 million acres unaccounted for as compared to what we planted last year. What will that go to? Probably milo and soybeans. We've had the fiasco with the fertilizer, where it has dropped to less than half of what we started at. The fertilizer plants full of fertilizer at expensive prices, slow to come down, some of you put it on and whatever like that. So we've got some really big acreage pumping at us, looking at us coming at the March 30th, 31st report, and we've got some really tight situations right here. So down the road we'll give you a couple option ideas of what we think we should do, but I do think we need to protect something under the bottom of this market and hopefully leave the top side wide open.
So if I'm keeping score correctly, we have one bear, one friendly, but he's not sure exactly on that. Is that right? Did anybody listen to that? How many listened to After the Bell in the weekend newsletter? Anybody listen to that? I got just one over there? I'm surprised. Okay, the weekend newsletter. This is a little tidbit. If you're not signed up for the newsletter and you don't watch it all the time, periodically after Commodity Week, we continue on to talk. It doesn't happen often, but we continue to talk from time to time. Last week, we went an extra 7.5 minutes. And the guest didn't, because he forgot he was going to be on Commodity Week. He was actually in Chicago, and he was on his way home. So he was on the train when we called him to begin with, and he sat in the train station in his car, and he didn't get a chance to hear the beginning of the program. And he asked, he said, well, did you guys get all the good answers? How did things go to begin with? And the answer from one of the analysts was, well, like you, we don't know anything. but they do know things. They really do know things, and they were just being funny. But that's a little segment that we put in the newsletter. If you're not signed, how many are signed up for the newsletter? There, that's what I thought. It's interesting that you didn't catch the After the Bell segment. I'm a little upset by that, but that's all right. Dave didn't get that. Maybe that's not Dave's fault. That's my fault. If it didn't link in, that's my fault. That's in that from time to time you might want to listen. And you can hear folks like Kurt Kimmel, who happened to be on that program this last week, and he talked a bit about soybeans then, and he's going to do it right now for you, too.
Well, good morning, Todd. What a day, what a crowd, what an event. Be sure to take notes, because by the end of the day, I don't know what all you're going to learn, but I'm sure it's going to be exciting. We feel other than the cattle market, the bean market is probably going to be one of the most exciting markets to watch here over the next 3 to 4 months. Fundamentally, there's a ton of things you got to look at that can change the dynamics in a hurry. Simply, fundamentally, if you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, we have an ending stocks carryout estimate of about 210 million bushels. If you put that in metric tons, that's about 6 million metric tons. Well, the reason I say that is right now we're focused on South America. Most analysts are looking at production in the southern hemisphere, production, production, production. But I think you need to focus on carryout estimates in the southern hemisphere. Argentina is estimated to have about a 21 million metric ton carryout compared to our 6. Brazil is about 18 million metric tons compared to our 6. When you put that in million bushels, Argentina, 800 million bushels. Brazil, 680 million bushel carryout. Huge. They hold 73% of the world ending stocks. Now, the reason I bring this up is we're in a situation here, if we don't, like Wayne sort of hinted on, if we don't see those beans come out of the southern hemisphere in an orderly fashion, you could see beans run $9-$10 probably in a hurry. But then on the other hand, if beans come out of the southern hemisphere in an orderly fashion, with the economic situation we're in, we could probably see beans drift down to 6.5. So we feel the fireworks are going to be in the bean complex here over the next few months. I don't know if you're open to marketing ideas or hedging ideas, but we've got trade ideas, hedging ideas in print. Our booth's over there. Pete, raise your hand. You can come over there. We got in print on what to do. Look forward to your questions.
Thanks, Kurt. Kurt Manhart, or Kurt, Kurt works with Pete Manhart, who's over here, and he's with Bates Commodities, by the way. You can hear Kurt on Mondays at the opening market report and the closing market report. Next to him is Dan Zwicker with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Dan and I go back a long way. Dan gave me my very first job when I came out of school. Worked for him for just a bit. And that's where he and I and WILL, I suppose, to some extent, started to blaze some trails. Dan was, this is an interesting note, and I don't know, Dan, whether you know this story or not. He should, but he may not remember it, because it was my job to do this. Dan's advice was the very first premium advice to be put on the DTN network. Did you know that? On that day. Actually, and it was the very first one. It was a toss-up between Zwicker and Brock on that day. And since I was working for Zwicker, I figure it was him and not Brock. But so, Dan, tell me about the bean market.
Good to be with you again this year. The way I look at the bean market, there's probably two things that's going to drive it. First thing is probably the exchange rate. I keep an eye on the dollar. And, of course, anybody that's been watching the dollar has seen it strengthen sharply here as the stock market jitters or world economy jitters kind of flight to quality. This morning here we see the dollar sharply lower. I think that alone is probably ripe for some kind of setback in here because we have had a pretty emotional move, flight to quality to the dollar. We've had a lot of bearishness in the stock market, which I think that can continue. But I do think there's a point where maybe this up move in the dollar is at least is ripe for a setback. And if that's the case, I think that can spill over into the whole commodity complex and at least give us a lift out of some of these late winter lows that we've been looking at here over the past couple weeks. So I think that's a key factor, maybe in the soybean market as well as spills on over into the other markets. The other thing, of course, is we do have uncertainty, some turbulence in Argentina, whether or not the government, kind of a showdown between the government on their export tax and farmers refusing to sell inventory into the world market. That has kept our bean export demand probably a little stronger, has kept it last a little longer than it normally would have. I think that's still a factor, at least on the short term. When I look at the technicals, I think we had the first good, decent shot at taking out a previous rally high point. Basically, since January, when we started off the year, we've been in a pretty pronounced downtrend where we've had lower lows and lower highs. I think currently we have a decent shot at popping out the previous rally high point. And if we would do that, I think that would be a strong technical indication that we've exhausted the downside and we're gearing up for an early growing season, a rally of some kind in the complex. Those Pacific numbers that I'm looking at is like May soybean futures at 895 and three quarters. If we could pop that out, I think then that kind of opens up the gates for maybe a little more meaningful rally as we go on into the spring months. I think on November soybeans, we're looking at 854 and a half. That kind of opens up the gates for a pretty good rally. Now, as the previous comments on the panel says, soybean acreage for next year, it clearly has the potential of being huge. there just seems to be, once you get outside of the high productive soils of the Midwest, you get into an awful lot of chatter about soybean plantings. Just about every place I went to this winter, the big concern was what are new crop bean prices going to do. So that alone kind of tells me there's a lot of people leaning in that direction. We'll have to see how the spring growing season weather plays out. but it appears that we're going to go into the spring planting season wet, and my guess is that we're not going to see very aggressive planting anytime soon, and I think that could continue to put more pressure on new crop bean values.
Okay, time to open it up so that you can ask questions. Who's got the very first question they want to ask? I've got one while you're thinking about that. Mr. Maples, outline the downside and what kind of downside potential you see in the marketplace, where you think the soybeans May contract might be able to go to.
The May contract? I'm going to say the May contract could bust through and challenge the 775, but that's predicated if we start to see activity out of Argentina. Today, South American beans are being offered cheaper than U.S., but we're still a little uncertain whether we can get the Argentine beans available. I think to some extent that's predicated on the increase in soy acres that I'm not 100% sure that we're going to see at this point. The corn-bean ratio as of yesterday's close, I didn't see what it was today, but it was 2.06. That does not favor soybeans if you're setting in Iowa, if you're setting in northern Illinois in good producing areas, you're not going to increase soybean plantings. So if things go right, I'm not sure we see that kind of a move. But if the economy continues to fail and that I'm wrong on some of the things that I see starting to turn, I think you can go down and challenge that 775 number.
Okay, so roughly speaking, we've got, what, $1, $1.15 range, something like that, from the top to the bottom on the friendly to the bearish. Is that right? Is that what I got? What was your top number? Where did you say we were headed?
I never gave you a top number. I learned a long time ago.
You gave me a breakout number, didn't you? Oh, okay. Honestly, we got a breakout number on the top and a breakout number
breakout
on the bottom.
We got a breakout number.
Okay.
I suppose if you'd want to get friendly on the upside, I suppose May beans could travel up into this 950, 975 area fairly easy. I think beyond that, we're going to have a supply issue. And I think that's the key, is that we are no longer in a demand-driven market like we have been the last couple of years. It's strictly supply-oriented. So we're going to, in order to propel this market sharply higher, you're going to have to come up with a supply-tightening factor of some kind. But just looking at the chart, I suppose if we can break out above this 895, 896 area, we could gravitate up into this 9.5, 975 area.
Okay, we need some more data from you. I won't ask you how many you have to sell, but how about this? Old crop soybeans, how many have old crop left to sell? Be honest. Everybody raise your hand so we know. What do you think? Is that about 40%? More? Hey, hold it. Everybody, hold them up high. I need a good... Oh, there you go. That's what I wanted. Okay. All right. So now we need to know. Everybody's got them to sell. So what do we do? What do we do? Wayne?
Well, I told you I would give you some ideas that were definite here today. If you feel that you need some cash flow now, you feel the economy isn't there, if you feel that Barack is not going to give us the details of the bailout plan. One of the biggest problems is not the bailout plan itself, but it's because Wall Street hasn't heard the details of what they're going to do, and they're still feeling that Congress is a bunch of idiots and can't handle it right. If you feel that way and you feel you better take advantage and sell some cash, but you're scared to just let things go, we've got a good basis on beans now. Sell some cash beans and buy an 8.6 or buy an 8.20 July or November call and sell a 9.60 call. That puts you pretty much in the money on the bottom side. If we work on up, Dan was using that 9.60 to 9.75 as the top side. That gives you that idea to go on up there. Now, if you just want to sit with your beans, you think that we're going to get tight down later, let's buy a July 860 put and sell a July 980 call. And that's going to run you about 45 cents. And the other option strategy is going to run about 45 cents. And that gives you the opportunity to hang on to some things. The other thing that you should be doing now, because options are very, very expensive, we can't hedge all of our grain. Your bankers aren't going to let you hedge all your grain. And with the tightness of production costs and what we can sell it for now, we can't buy puts and calls on everything. Crop insurance gives you a very cheap put and gives you some weather flexibility. The government has changed the subsidies this year on the enterprise units. They have got it down to where it's very reasonable. I'll tell you what, folks, it's reasonable for a reason. When you get enterprise units, you're not going to collect near as often. But if we have the volatility, like Inform is talking about, we drop from $8.80 down to $6. All of a sudden, if you've got a revenue policy, that's protecting you with a put and an ID on the downside that way to help you out a little bit. So those are my three things to look at. Crop insurance, number one. And I'd like to point out Todd Hopkins over here, my partner, that's really big in the crop insurance at our office. And I'd also like to tell you that look at some of those puts and calls we talked about there and think seriously about moving some grain at these good basis levels.
Did you guys listen to Commodity Week over the weekend? Boy, I was tough on the president over the weekend on Commodity Week. Given that we're on a public radio station, I thought we might get a few phone calls on that. We didn't. I was pleased that we didn't, but I thought we might. I really thought we might. Kurt?
Yeah, I thought he had a good point. Obama, steal from the rich, give the poor. It reminded me of Robin Hood. I think it's a matter of whether you want to manage risk or not, and I think there's quite a bit of risk both ways here until, like was mentioned, until we see what type of economic direction we head. So I think you transfer your ownership to paper. I think you take advantage of the tight basis, move the cash on strength, and move into a paper position. There's several ways you can go. Wayne had some excellent ideas there according to your risk tolerance factor. From a long-term perspective, I think that you need to be looking at these new crop beans on strength in here, putting some type of put downside protection. When you look at options, if you buy them outright, they're quite expensive, but there's some creative ideas to bring that cost down by 50%. And a lot of the people today here have those ideas on how to do that a cost-effectively way. So I encourage you to take time to visit with them.
Questions out here. Who's ready? It's time. Anybody? Well, then let's right out here. Yes, sir.
I will comment to that just briefly. I'm not sure we said no demand, because Chinese demand has been tremendous this year. Thank God for Chinese demand. They've taken roughly 70% of the soybeans we've taken. And to back up your point, my understanding is food prices are actually up 2% since the first of the year. So there is some demand out here. It comes back to supply side that could drive us from here, is I think what Dan was saying down here.
Yeah, my point was not there's no demand or the demand's not increasing, that we are now in a supply-driven market. Supply is the main focus of the market. The last 2 years, the market was focused on demand, because as we looked ahead toward the balance sheets, we saw growing demand in biofuels and whatnot, and that drove the market into a situation where we need to increase acres to meet that demand. Today, when you're in a global recession, the market looks ahead and sees demand stagnant, maybe even shrinking, especially on the biofuel front, and we're looking at some fairly large acreage potentials coming at us. So my point was, if you're going to fuel this market higher in this type of environment, you have to come in with a supply shortening event to tuck supplies in, and that would fuel the market higher. It's not like a new demand event.
Also, too, you need to look at what sector demand. There's export demand, there's ethanol demand, there's feed demand. But, too, if you look at the USDA reports, per capita consumption of meat, demand is going down on what the last few reports said by just a pound or two.
So that, just to repeat, that question was actually a comment. Basically, the comment said, read your history, According to him, the history says during a recession, demand for food goes up worldwide, or in that area where the recession is. Ken?
Lots of discussion how big the 2010 carryout would be. What's the panel think? Where are you putting 2010, assuming a normal yield next year?
We had a handout. I don't know if you had one or not, but basically we addressed the planted acres and demand. If you have acres unchanged and have a 38 bushel yield on it, actual carryout for 2010 can be down under 100 million bushels. If you have trend line yields, 43 bushel acre, and you see an increase of 3 million acres, ending stock could be as high as 480 million bushels. Then, two, if you have 45 bushels an acre, ending stocks could be as 900 million bushels. So once we establish the acreage number, you'll plug that in. Then after that, it's Mother Nature and how big a crop, what type of yield you have for a crop.
Anybody else?
I think it depends upon what kind of acres you want to put on it, but it looks to me like soybean acres could go as high as 80, maybe even a little bit more. A lot of that depends upon the spring planting season. If you just multiply it out by an average yield, whether or not you want to use 40 bushels or 39.5 or whatever, there's no doubt you could get the carryover a year from now in that 500 to 800, depending upon what kind of acres you get. But the acres, it's going to be interesting what USDA tells us on March 31st, and I'm not too sure the market's going to be real comfortable with it. It'll have to trade it. But as a group, I think farmers are still very flexible as far as their planting intentions go. And if the rally in corn comes, we may not get as many of those bean acres planted as what the market's looking at.
I've got a question for Dan. Since you opened the door about the value of the dollar and since it's a major driver of the commodity prices, could you comment on what extent of the movement that you were, when you talked about the dollar correcting, what extent of that movement do you project?
Well, it probably won't. I mean, I think the dollar could probably, on the index terms, could probably crack back into the low 80s pretty easy on a good correction. I think longer term, you may still have to view the dollar as trending higher because when you look at a long-term chart, we're still at relatively low levels compared to where we've been in the past. It just depends upon which time of history you want to look at it. But we've had a pretty good run off of that June high or June low, which is somewhere around 71 on the index. We're up here in this 89 area. So if this 89.90 would be a short-term top, you could crack it back 40%. So you could do an 8-point decline back into the low 80s. I think if that would occur, you could get a pretty good rally going into the commodity complex. I don't have no charts here with me. If later on here you maybe come back to our booth, I plotted the dollar, an inverted dollar against like a CRB index, which is a basket of commodities, and you can see how they go tit for tat, at least over the past year here. So the CRB index looks like it's kind of tilted into a sideways to higher move here since the dollar has kind of been ever since mid-December when we kind of thought maybe inflation was going to start coming at us and the 0% interest rates and whatnot where the dollar has been a little rattier. So if we could get a correction back into the mid to low 80s, I think that could propel a pretty good rally. And I guess that's what I would be looking at from a market analyst point of view as an opportunity to sell old crop grain and maybe get some new sold. But I think it has the potential. The environment that we're in, who knows? We still have a concern flight to quality. I'm not convinced this stock market has bottomed yet. But I think at least in the short term, there's room for a correction.
If we see the Dow go down to 5325, the next support level, what kind of general impact do you think it will have on our demand relative to our supply?
Who wants to take that one?
Who wants to take the Dow?
I think that that would actually help the demand picture, because along with that much of the falling Dow, we're going to see, I've heard a lot of what I consider very intelligent people tell me, in that range, they're going to buy stock. They're going to accumulate some things and figure that that should be about the bottom of this downtrend. Also, that should take our prices down to where, remember, low prices are the best cure for low prices. And I think that we would sort of start to see the economy bottom, things start to take off. You know, one of the questions that I'd written down here that I'd sort of wanted to ask or propel was, could we see an inflation bounce within the next 12 months? Can we turn this, start to turn this economy around? Dale English was talking to me this morning, and he said that when we sat in class and we printed all this money, didn't that say that we should have inflation within a time period along the way? And I think that as we both sat there in class, one of our professors told us that we should be seeing inflation sometime in the next 2 years because of our money supply. And I think that that's one of the things that as we get down there, we get confidence back and we get growing. Number one, we should see some stability because of investments. And number two, because of inflation and people wanting to own things at that lower level.
We need to take up all new crop prices, too, so be thinking about that.
Okay. So if the Obama administration increases the amount of ethanol in the gasoline, what does that do to your demand? What effects do you see on your projections from that?
Well, we can take corn up yet this afternoon, but I think you're probably all interested in doing that, so take a quick stab at 15% blend.
Well, this is stepping on the corn panel's turf.
But it's good.
But I guess
but it's good.
They can talk about something else, I guess. But, I think if we just leave the blend the way it is, I think we're going to go back to the 4 billion bushels for the coming year, or 4 billion bushels, maybe 4.1, 4.2. I guess I'm not thoroughly convinced we'll go to 15, but, you know, there's definitely a political movement afoot to at least increase it 2 or 3 points in a way. But that would all be good. I mean, we're going to we definitely need – I mean, that's been the lagger in the economy or in the corn market this year, that, of course, is, as well as feed. But if we would just – the key here is getting the economy to kind of bottom out, stop deteriorating, get unemployment to level out, then I think then we could begin to talk about some pretty good demand in ethanol. But I think if we just leave it where it's at, we're going to grow back to 4 billion, 4.1.
Well, this is the bean panel, so we're supposed to talk about soy diesel. And I think that if we can get ethanol moving, if we can get crude oil to increase a little bit in price along the way so we can make soy diesel worth blending, right now we have a glut of bean oil. And I think that we have cut way back as far as the soy oil we've been using as far as that goes along the way. So I think also as we look at the whole economy, I forget how many millions or billions of dollars we're saving every day with gasoline down here compared to higher. But yet, as a farmer, you would like to see crude oil really around $75 so we could increase ethanol usage and production and soy diesel usage. So it's a big balancing act for Congress to decide which way to go. Do you go with the general economy or the ag economy on trying to prop up the crude oil prices? But if crude oil would retreat or would go back in the $65 to $75 range, we're going to see more bean oil being used for biodiesel, and the corn effects are going to be dramatic.
Let's close our panel out in this fashion because we really haven't taken up prices for new crop soybeans. Brian, why don't you start us on that down that path and where you think new crop prices might be headed and reasons why?
Well, I tend, like I commented earlier, I said I've been a big bear. I've actually moved more neutral at this point. There's some things that are concerning me in the marketplace that might be starting to turn us. For one thing, we talked about, Dan talked about the flight to safety to the dollar. We typically see a same flight to safety with gold, and gold is now roughly $100 off its high. So something's happening there. We're finding the demand for gold is not there like it used to be. I tend to think the dollar is probably going to work its way higher, but we've seen, as Dan indicated, much higher levels of the dollar. And my concern there is that I think that the U.S., the English-speaking dollars, continue to rally against the yen, where Japan has huge problems. And I think that we could see that begin to be an indication, as it always has been, that global equities are starting to turn the corner a little bit. And I think that's things that you have to watch. I look at the crude oil situation, and as Wayne just said, if we can get through $50 here, and if you've been to any of our meetings that we've had that I've talked at, I've talked about the carry between the front end to the back months. It's been out as wide as $8 to $9 on the front end. We went off yesterday at less than a dollar from the April to the May. So we're starting to see some things change that might to bring about a little bit more bullish scenario out here, and we might see the end in sight. So I'm not a real active seller of new crop beans today. I think that on rallies, you might give some serious thought to buying a put in the marketplace and selling a way out of the money call. You can sell $10 calls today for some very reasonable price levels. Even the $11 and $12 values are fairly expensive numbers today that you can get some money back against the puts that you buy. I tend to like buying nearby puts against those because I'm not sure that this downtrend is going to continue. But I'm not thinking we've got a tremendous amount of downside left. I think there's some things that are beginning to turn, and we might see some light at the end of the tunnel over the next couple of months.
Brian Maple is with FC Stone. You can hear him on Monday mornings at 8:50 a.m. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He's on Tuesdays at 9:50 and 2:06.
Well, I have a tendency to agree greatly with Brian's comments there. The one big thing that we have, there's two big things we have to look at. Number one, the acreage prospective plannings comes out the end of the month. If we're at 81 million acres of beans, we're going to be a dollar lower than where we're at right now. There's no doubt in my mind. But then there's, of course, the big card, as Dan talked about, two big cards. Number one is weather. Can we just sit back and pray for a drought? Weather problems here, weather problems around the world, whatever's going on. And, of course, what does happen in South America is a big thing. Can Argentina get things straightened out along the way? So I guess I'm going to have to be in the 680 to 970 bracket as far as what I would be. Anywhere over the $9.50 to $10 mark for new crop beans, I have to be a seller of half the crop. Then I look back and I say, let my crop insurance hold my put underneath the market for the other half of the crop. And then at that point in time, we possibly look to see if inflation does happen.
Kirk Kimmel?
Well, we feel that if we go ahead and get an extra 3 to 5 million bean acres, it's just going to destroy the supply-demand balance sheet, especially with the beans we got in the Southern Hemisphere. The reason the beans are staying higher right now is just the fact that we're seeing a lot of business come out of Asia due to the supplies out of South America. It's just not coming to the market in a free fashion. So we feel that the bean markets ride the coattails of the old crop beans. As far as new crop beans, we feel downside risk on November beans is 7 to 650 on the downside. If old crop can stay strong and get some weather concerns, don't get the big acreage, we could probably rally up to 950 to 10 bucks. So I think you need to develop a marketing plan or a trading plan and trade those ranges.
Kirk Kimmel is with us on Mondays at 950 and 206. And on Thursdays, we're joined by Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, at those same times. Kurt, by the way, is with Bates Commodities. Dan?
If there's anything I've learned in my 35 years or so in marketing is that when market turns down, you can't get bearish enough, and when it turns up, you can't get bullish enough. And I think there's probably more downside risk in soybeans than one really wants to talk about. But I think the window here is the next 2 months or so, depending upon how we get through planning, what kind of acreage number we're going to get from the USDA on March 31st. So I'm kind of in the camp that if we can get a rally going here for a week or two, take a look at buying something close to the money on the puts. You could maybe sell a call, a buck and a half or so out of the money to kind of put you, at least protect this environment between now and May 31st, depending upon how many acres we get. Then you could take that off if that downside risk is not needed. I think you need to probably play defensive on new crop beans at least for the next 60 days and see how things kind of plan out. Other than that, I think there's potential. I wouldn't be super bearish, but this market has the potential going back to kind of where we started from a couple 3 years ago, which means that we start talking about 6 and 2 or something. But we got a long ways to go before we get there. But I do think you need to play defensive on new crop beans just because of the risk of huge acres as we go forward.
I was going to tell you to give him all the applause, but he just said 6 and 2, didn't he? You slipped that in there. Give everybody a nice round of applause, please.